In the Lord's Supper, what does the expression, quote, "may we do this in a way that is pleasing unto thee," unquote, mean? What should we say in our prayers during the Lord's Supper? Well, this is a good question, and I appreciate this question. I'm thankful for the one who asked the question. And, you know, sometimes when we pray in the Lord's Supper and we give thanks for the bread and we give thanks for the fruit of the vine, you know, at the end of the prayer, the person who's praying will say something like, "Lord, help us to do all these things in a way that's pleasing unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen," or something like that. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that expression. And so the questioner is asking, well, what does that mean and why do we say it? Well, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because we're going to be focusing on 1 Corinthians chapter 11 for this entire question. And we're not going to be going to any other scriptures than 1 Corinthians 11, because Paul really does set forth some teaching here that is applicable to the Lord's Supper. So in 1 Corinthians 11, starting at about verse 27 through 29, I believe that this is why we say things like, "help us to do or help us partake of this bread in a way that's going to be pleasing in thy sight," or something like that. Because look at what Paul says here in verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." All right. So Paul talks about eating and drinking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner here. And we certainly don't want to do that, right? And so we pray, "help us to do this in a way that's going to be pleasing unto you," that is, not in an unworthy manner. But what is an unworthy manner, right? Maybe that's a question you're asking yourself. Well, if you go back a few verses to 1 Corinthians 11, verses 20 through 22, Paul talks about exactly what the unworthy manner that the church at Corinth was practicing in relationship to the Lord's Supper. Look at verse 20. "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." So basically what the church at Corinth was doing was they were coming together and they were saying, "oh, let's partake of the Lord's Supper." And then they were just having a common meal. And so everybody would kind of get in their own little group and they would eat their food and they would, you know, be happy. And then some people over here were left out and they didn't have anything to eat and they went hungry. Other people had an overabundance and they ate too much and drank too much, you know. And so because they did that, then they weren't sharing the Lord's Supper equally with everyone. Well, that's the unworthy manner that Paul is discussing later on in this chapter. He's talking about the unworthy way in which the church at Corinth was partaking of the Lord's Supper. And that's what unworthy manner means, okay, in this context. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are supposed to do it in a worthy manner. And the worthy manner that we're supposed to partake of it is that we are supposed to share with one another, that we're supposed to wait on one another, that we're supposed to serve one another in that regard, and all partake of the Lord's Supper at the same time and include everyone in that memorial. But they weren't doing that in Corinth, and so they were partaking of it in an unworthy manner. Well, since they were partaking of it in an unworthy manner, there were some people who, like Paul says in verse 30, "for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." So as a result of the way they were treating each other in the church, they weren't taking care of each other like they should. Some people were getting sick and other people were dying because they were not sharing and taking care of one another as Christians should. And so Paul says, verse 33, "Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." So he wants us to wait on one another. He wants us to serve one another. And that's what Paul is saying. And that's what Christ wants us to do as well when it comes to the Lord's Supper. So really, our comments, when we say, help us to do this in a way that's going to be pleasing in thy sight, we are doing the things that we're supposed to do that are pleasing in the Lord's sight. Now, someone may say, well, what about if I'm thinking about the baseball game or the football game or something like that? Well, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to think about the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be thinking about during the Lord's Supper. And so if you're not thinking about that, then you're not doing the Lord's Supper in a way that's pleasing to Him. And so I appreciate the encouragement. There's nothing wrong with the encouragement. But we need to remember what the context of 1 Corinthians 11 is. In an unworthy manner, that has to do with how the church at Corinth was practicing the Lord's Supper. Now, the second part of the question is this. What should we say in our prayers during the Lord's Supper? And there is only one thing that is absolutely required to say during the Lord's Supper. Now, I know we say all kinds of things, and we talk about all kinds of things during the Lord's Supper, and I'm not critical of any of those things. But there's really only one thing that is required. Now look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 23 through 25. Paul says this, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come." Now, what's the one thing that Jesus did before he partook of the Lord's Supper? He gave thanks. That's it. That's the only thing that we're required to do in prayer. All we have to do when we partake of the Lord's Supper is say, "Lord, thank you for this bread." And that's it. That's the only thing that the Scriptures require that we say in prayer before the Lord's Supper. Now, sometimes we forget to do that, and we shouldn't forget to do that. And I know that we're all weak and human and frail, and we have our own way of thinking, and we have our own sort of patterns of thought. And when you get up in front of the microphone, you know, things kind of go haywire and you settle back into your own habits. But we really need to make a practice of saying thank you when we pray for the Lord's Supper. We need to say, "Thank you for this bread. Thank you for this fruit of the vine." And specifically, thank God for these things. Now, I think it's also appropriate when we partake the Lord's Supper that we also give thanks for what the bread and the fruit of the vine mean to us. And that's in relationship, of course, to the body and the blood of Jesus. So we give thanks for the bread, we give thanks for the body of Christ, and we give thanks for the fact that Jesus came to this earth and lived as a man and died on the cross for us. We give thanks for the fruit of the vine. We give thanks for the blood that Jesus shed. And we give thanks for the forgiveness of sins that we have through His shedding of that blood. And so when we give thanks during the Lord's Supper, we do need to give thanks for the elements, but we can also give thanks for what the elements mean and what they signify in that regard. But that's really the only thing that is required to say in the Lord's Supper, is thank you. And that's it. In fact, as the Lord's Supper was being practiced in the first century, it became known, and I know that this word is used today in other religious bodies, but it became known by, and this was originally a Greek word, it became known by the Greek word Eucharisto. And Eucharisto is the Greek word for thanksgiving, because that's what they did during the Lord's Supper. They gave thanks. And so that's what we need to do as well. We need to give thanks. And today we have the English word Eucharist, okay? And then that some religions use that to refer to the Lord's Supper. But the word Eucharisto, that's the Greek word, it just means to give thanks. And so that's what we need to do when we partake of the Lord's Supper, is to give thanks. Now that's the only thing that the Scriptures require in regard to following the example of Jesus. And so we really need to make that our practice, and we really need to observe the Lord's Supper as Jesus wanted us to observe it, as Paul pointed out the pattern for the observance was, and in pointing out that pattern in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said. And then in the same manner, verse 25, he took the cup. So he gave thanks for the cup as well. So let's see if we can make an effort, men. And I know you're good men, and I know that you want to do what's right. So men who lead our prayers for the Lord's Supper, let's see if we can make an effort to say thank you when we pray for the Lord's Supper. I mean, really make an effort to get up here and say, thank you for this bread. Thank you for this fruit of the vine. Or, Lord, we give thanks for this bread. Lord, we give thanks for this fruit of the vine. Let's really say those words so that we can be thankful as God's people in relationship to what He has done for us, because that's what the Lord's Supper is really all about, is our thankfulness to God for the sacrifice of Jesus and the blessing that we experience as a result of that sacrifice. And speaking of that sacrifice, Jesus died on that cross so that all might have the opportunity to be saved. And God's plan for man's salvation is the same for everyone, as we were saying earlier. And that plan is simply to hear His word and believe it, to repent of our sins, to confess Jesus as Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. Do you realize that Jesus told us to do every single one of those things? Those are words that Jesus said. And so if we want to be saved by Jesus, then we will follow His words and we will obey them and we will do what Jesus says to be saved. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to be saved this evening by being baptized into Christ for the remission of his or her sins? We can help you with that. If someone has a prayer request at this time, or if you would like to be prayed for yourself, if you have a prayer request for yourself, then we can do that at this time as well. Whatever your need may be, you can come forward while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.